G'day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for your company. It is time for Hebrew Roots on Truth to You. I'm Jono, and joining me is Jason Spiritual Babies. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
G'day, Jono. Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks.
That's good. I'm glad you're good. Hey, now listen, you have got a new Facebook page. Can we tell everyone about that?
Yeah, sure. I've taken all the content that I make, the videos and all the little pictures, and I've put them onto one specific page on Facebook. So you can go there and pull it off, and you don't have to worry about there being silly stories and dialogue. So if you go to Spiritual Babies, type that into Facebook, and the kind of the creative page will come up, and link there to the YouTube stuff. And you don't have to go to YouTube. You can do everything on the site. It's pretty cool. It's growing every day. So if people go there and give it a like and have a look at my stuff and share it, that'd be great.
Beautiful. Go to Spiritual Babies page, like it, and engage with the information. Now, not only that, Jason's Spiritual Babies, but there is also the website, which is spiritualbabies.net. That's correct?
Right. Spiritualbabies.net.
So let me just say to everyone, if you're enjoying what, I mean, all the videos, the video that you're watching right now, Jason Spiritual Babies does those. He labors over those. He sweats over a hot computer. And,
blood, sweat, and tears.
Blood, sweat, and tears, and gets them all together. But it's not something that is, well, you know, you sort of subscribe to some expensive kind of gear to do this, right?
Yeah, there's a package, an art package, which allows me access to various different software, from the graphic software to the video software to the audio software to animation software, and all of that. Yeah, there's quite an
there's a little bit involved. It's a little bit expensive. So I just want to say to the listeners, if you are blessed by these videos, these Hebrew Roots videos that we are doing, and you enjoy the shiny videos that Mr. Spiritual Babies makes, which is so great, and I really like them, you can, if you feel so inclined, give back to spiritualbabies.net. There is a donation button there, and your contributions, your support would be greatly appreciated. So if you go to spiritualbabies.net, there is a donation button, a PayPal donation button, which you can click on and contribute back to the work that Jason Spiritual Babies is doing. There we go.
I'd be very grateful. Thanks very much.
And thank you, my friend, for making such great videos. Now, we are continuing in the Epistle to the Hebrews, right?
Right, we are. We are going through them a little bit every week.
Now, and, we said, did say to everyone we were going to do it chronologically, but we didn't really mean that, did we?
Well, no, we did. We're going to go for it chronologically in the order that we find them.
Yeah, that'll do. That's what we meant. And what we want to do is investigate four things. We want to see, what does it say in the Hebrews? What does it say in the Epistle to the Hebrews? Where is the author? Who is the author, by the way?
We do not know.
Haven't a clue what's going on there, but I'm going to refer to him as what's his name. You know what? It might be what's her name.
Right. But well, we do know, don't we, that it's kind of, it was... is produced very early on.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It kind of predates a lot of the other stuff.
But we don't know who did it. And what we do know is that the author, what's his name or what's her name, he quotes from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Tanakh. And we want to find out what that says. And what does it say in the original Hebrew? And what is the purpose of the passage in its original context? That's some of the things that we want to have a look at. So, Jason Spiritual Babies, which passage are we looking at today?
I think today we are in Hebrews 8, and we're hovering around the 10 to 13 mark.
I want to go from 7 if that's all right. In fact, I want to go a little bit. I want to go a little bit further back because we did the Melchizedek thing. People can find that in the Hebrew Roots section, truthtoyou.org, truth2u.org, and you can see Hebrew Roots. You can click on that, and it'll show you the archive of Jason Spiritual Babies and I doing these sessions of Hebrew Roots.
You can click on the annotation, which will be on your screen right now.
There you go.
That'll take you straight to there.
But then it'll cut them off. You open it up in another tab, otherwise we'll be gone. You have to start again.
Oh, it's totally going to open in another tab.
Is it?
It's okay. I can save it for later on.
Man, you're clever. Anyway, so you'll see Melchizedek there. We did that one. We did that, okay? Now, the reason why I want to go back is because in chapter 8, verse 7, it says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Now, it has to be acknowledged, Mr. Spiritual Babies, that the word covenant is in italics because the word covenant isn't in the verse. It's inserted there. And, you know, there's some funny sort of, you know, theories and theology about that as to whether it actually refers to the covenant. So, or whether it refers to the priesthood. And so I want to go back to, say, 722. It says, after talking about Melchizedek, we've dealt with that. It says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. It goes on in verse 8 to say, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. I like the main point. I like it when people get to the point. I kind of like information in a nutshell first and then go back and look at the details afterwards. But this is the main point, what's his name or what's her name says, of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest. And in verse 6, they go on to say, he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And it's the next verse that says, for if that first covenant, which isn't in the text, if that first had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Now, based on that, I think it's fair. I think it's fair that it is talking about the covenant. I think it's fair that the text inserts the word covenant there because, you know, in the context of the Epistle of Hebrews, it kind of, you know, it flows. It makes sense. However, just to placate everybody and make everybody happy, you know, Mr. Spiritual Babies, there's another ministry called testeverything.net. Testeverything.net, right. Which is otherwise known as 119 Ministries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 119, every now and then, they come out with some really good graphics, kind of like what you do, right? And
they're really fantastic.
There's some graphics. Really shiny stuff. They got some shiny stuff. I like shiny things. And every now and then, they get a verse and they put it in. And the other day, they reminded me that the covenant is everlasting. And they put out one that said, let's see, it was Isaiah 24, verse 5. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah 24, verse 5. I thought, that is cool. I'd like to be reminded of that. It looks pretty cool. They also had another one, by the way, which I really appreciated. It said, if the law of God is forever, when did forever become temporary? And in the middle of that, they've got a few different ones. They've got the Sabbath equals forever, covenant equals forever, his law equals forever, his word equals forever. We can say amen to all of those, and they've got scripture passages for each of those. And when it comes to covenants, it's 1 Chronicles 16:15. So there's a couple of excellent, really good verses that they have highlighted, which shows that the covenant is forever. So they certainly agree. Mr. Spiritual Babies, there's one thing that I noticed about this wonderful, shiny little sign that they made on Facebook, 119. They left something out, and that is, of course, the priesthood. Now, the interesting thing about the word forever, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is that in the Hebrew, in each of these verses that they've quoted, including the one that I quoted before from Isaiah in regarding the everlasting covenant, each of these verses uses the word olam, and olam is forever. It's Strong's number 5769, 5769, olam. And they're quite right when they say, when did forever become temporary? Because in Christian theology, Sunday Christian theology, that's usually what you get to hear is that, well, forever doesn't mean forever. It just means for a long time until, you know, we don't like forever anymore, and then it means something else. And so, but they're absolutely right. The Sabbath is forever. The covenant is forever. His law is forever. His word is forever. The word olam is used in all of the verses that they have quoted there. But also, I just want to highlight that whether Hebrews 8 verse 8 is in reference to the covenant or if it is reference to the priesthood, both of them are forever. And if you look at, let's see, Exodus 29 verse 9, what do you got? Which Bible are you looking at?
The Holman. The priesthood is to be theirs by a permanent statute. Ooh. This is the way you will ordain Aaron and his sons.
Permanent. I've actually got a perpetual statute because they don't like using the word forever for some reason in the Christian translations. This is in the New King James version. They've got perpetual. But if you look it up, it's actually olam. Now, another one, just a few pages on, chapter 40, verse 15.
Okay.
Exodus 40:15.
Anoint them just as you anointed their father, so that they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will serve to inaugurate a permanent priesthood for them throughout their generations.
Hey, that's not bad. Permanent priesthood again. I've got everlasting priesthood in this case, though it's the same word. They don't use perpetual. Here they use everlasting. I like that one a little bit better, but it is actually forever. And again, the word is olam. Another one, Numbers 25:13.
It will be a covenant of perpetual priesthood for him and his descendants, because he was zealous for God and made atonement.
There it is. Perpetual priesthood, I've got everlasting again, and that once again the word is olam. So I would just say that the priesthood is forever. Clearly, there's just three, and there are many, many verses, but there's three that use that particular word. And so when it comes to whether it's the covenant or whether it's the priesthood, I just want to remind everybody, and let's just confirm from the very beginning before we read this passage, both the covenant and the priesthood, according to our Creator, is olam, is forever. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Grand. All right, so that's where it begins here in verse 7. It says, if that first covenant or if the first priesthood, either had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second, because finding fault with them, he says, and it goes on to say, now, should I read this, or should we deal with the finding fault part? Because where we're going is we're about to read from verse 8 onto verse 12 is actually a passage out of Jeremiah. And when we go to Jeremiah to find what it says in the Hebrew, then we need to look at the verse before, the first few verses before, to see where he found fault with them and why he says what he's about to say. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's do that. So what I'll do is let's jump over to Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34 is the passage that the what's-her-name is quoting from. But we need to go a little bit before that to see, you know, what it was that he found faults, the fault that he found, so that he said what he's about to say. And if we go back just a couple of verses, it says, "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge." Verse 30, "But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge." What does that mean?
It's familiar, isn't it? We have that verse somewhere else.
Where else do we have it?
Am I thinking Ezekiel?
Ezekiel! That's where it is. It's Ezekiel chapter 18. It says, "The word of Yehovah came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says Yehovah." Actually, it says, "As I live, says Adonai Yehovah, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine." And then there's a great amount of detail to make a point, because he's kind of cranky about this. They're saying that the guilt of the fathers is transferred to the son, and they pay the penalty for the fathers. "The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right," and verse 9, "he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just, he shall surely live, says Adonai Yehovah. But if he's done these abominations," it says in 13, "he shall surely die, his blood shall be upon him. But if he has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live," says verse 17. It goes on to say in verse 20, "The soul who sins," Mr. Spiritual Baby, "the soul who sins shall die, the son shall not bear the guilt of the father." Did you hear that? "The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." And it goes on and it talks about that in great detail. And it ends with, "For why should you die, O house of Israel?" In fact, before that, I love this. It's a great verse. Verse 30. Let's go from verse 30. "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says Adonai Yehovah. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgression which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says Adonai Yehovah. Therefore turn and live." Amen?
That's awesome, isn't it?
Oh, that's just, this is seriously, Ezekiel 18 is one of the coolest, coolest chapters of the Bible. I love it so much. And of course, he's quoting directly from Deuteronomy 24:16. Now, just really quickly, he's quoting from the Torah, and it says, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their father's person shall be put to death for his own sin. So they were quoting this, Mr. Spiritual Babies, they were quoting this. Still in Israel, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And he doesn't like that. And it says in Hebrews, for finding fault with them, he says, behold,
the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And each person will not teach his fellow citizen, and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their wrongdoings, and I will never remember their sins again.
That's pretty cool. Where it says, I will put my laws, my Torah, in their mind and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And none of them will
imagine
teach.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. When that happens, that's going to be really cool, because no one will need to say to his brother or his neighbor saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the greatest to the least. That hasn't happened yet, but I tell you what, when it does, we won't be doing this anymore.
No. And I won't be standing in the grocery store checking every jar for gelatin.
That's right. That's exactly right. Just having a look at the ingredients and making sure that we're not buying anything that has, you know, non-food in it.
Right.
Okay. So, but there is a couple of things here that we have to deal with before we move on. One of them is, and it has to, we have to say, you know, I mean, the Septuagint pretty much says, almost has it spot on, but there's just one thing, isn't there, that isn't quite right. And it's found, I think, in verse 9. So verse 9 says, not according to, you know, the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them from the hand and led them out to the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says Yehovah. Disregarded them? Now, we have to get, before we read on, we've got to go to where it's quoting in Jeremiah. Can I read this one?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, this is actually where he's quoting from, and I'm going to read it just from the Tanakh. It says from verse 31, behold, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Yehovah. Hang on a minute. Did you get that?
Yeah, totally. Mine says, and though I espoused them.
Oh, wow.
Which is along the same kind of lines. I was a partner to them.
It's not a word that you get to use very often.
No, it's not at all.
Spouse.
Yeah. Last time it was thus. Now we have a spouse. I think we should do one every week.
I know. It adds to my vocabulary every time. But what it says in the Septuagint is, it says, and according to Hebrews, it says, and I disregarded them, says Yehovah.
Yeah, very two very different things.
Okay, so that just needs to be pointed out. Hebrews says, though I disregarded them, the book of Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, but the actual Hebrews says, though I was a husband to them, or
though espoused
them. Very nice. Though I espoused them. And it goes on to say in verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my law, my Torah, in their minds, and I write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, no, Yehovah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Yehovah, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. That is just so awesome. What a great passage. It really is exceptionally cool. Now, I want to come back to another one of 911. And g'day to everyone at 911, because I know they listen. No, not 911, 119.
Yeah, 911.
Yeah, bit of an emergency. testeverything.net, because they made another one, and it says, so the new covenant is to have all the law in our heart. And I agree, you know, because a lot of people get confused with this. They think we're already in the so-called new covenant, but the only thing that's new about the new covenant is to have it written on our heart. And they actually quote Jeremiah 31:33. They also quote Ezekiel 36:27. Quite rightfully, it says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Spot on.
Right.
And this is, incidentally, this is what the Jews refer to as the universal knowledge of God. This is what we're waiting for. It hasn't happened yet. Looking forward to it, and may it be today. However, yes. Mr. Spiritual Babies, this is not the most controversial part. The most controversial part, and this is the part I want to deal with, is actually verse 13. So you were going to read that. Do you want to read that now? And this is Hebrews 8, verse 13.
Let's go for it. By saying a new covenant, he was declaring that the first is old, and what is old is and aging is about to disappear.
Wow. Okay, let me read what I've got. I've got, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now, we've already dealt with the fact that the covenant is olam. It is forever. So I'm not going to get into the theology of that, but that's something to keep in mind. What I do want to say is that verse 13 obviously is the words of what's-his-name or what's-her-name, and obviously not quoting from the Tanakh. The important thing is this, Mr. Spiritual Babies, what does it say in the Tanakh? Instead of saying that this covenant's been, the first covenant's been made obsolete and it's going to vanish and grow old and, you know, go away, what does it actually say? What does it continue on to say in verse 35 of Jeremiah 31?
Thus says the Lord, who established the sun for light by day, and the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea unto roaring waves, whose name is Jehovah of hosts. If these laws should ever be annulled by me, declares the Lord, only then would the offspring of Israel cease to be a nation before me for all time.
Amen. Amen. Keep it going. Keep it going. There's another verse.
Okay. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above could be measured and the foundations of the earth below could be fathomed, only then would I reject all of the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord.
That is, isn't that cool?
Fantastic.
Isn't that so cool? So if the ordinances of the moon and the stars and the sun and the seas and the waves, Yehovah Sebaot is his name. Amen. If those ordinances depart from before me, says Yehovah, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever, forever. Thus says Yehovah, if the heavens above can be measured, clearly they cannot, and the foundations of the earth be searched out beneath, and they clearly cannot, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done. So it says he will not cast them off. He will not cast them off, and Israel will not cease. And they will continue to be a nation before him forever. Oh, that is so great. Now, that's a little bit different to what the vibe that I get from Hebrews. It says, oh, it's, you know, first is obsolete and coming old and going to vanish away. But you know what? You know what, Mr. Spiritual Babies? These words in Jeremiah 31 from verse 35 to 37, it reminds me of something else. Do you know what that is?
Well, you know what? I'm looking at this page. I've got my large study Bible open, and heavens and the word earth are on top of each other, and it kind of reminds me of Matthew 5:17.
You know, there are some things that I just think are so just shining gems that Yeshua taught, and this is certainly one of them. This is a winner. So this is Matthew. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 7. Give it to us through to 19. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Done.
Okay. Don't assume that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I say destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Amen. Shouldn't we all?
Right. Yes. For I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a pen will pass from the Torah until all things are accomplished. And so, that echoes that very strongly for me, because as long as his Torah is perfection forever, and so Jeremiah 31 tells us that the heaven and earth are really the two witnesses to that. So as long as we have those witnesses, and we know that our covenant's still in place.
Amen. Amen. For in the words of Yeshua, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away. And compare that with what is said in the book in Hebrews in verse 13, the last verse of chapter 8. Again, some homework for the listeners. How's that? Do we want to add anything else to that?
Yeah, Jeremiah 33:19 and on is a good verse, and I think that would fit in nicely.
Go on.
The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night cease to come at the regular time, then also my covenant with my servant David may be broken, so that he will not have a son reigning on his throne, and the Levitical priests will not be my ministers. The host of heaven cannot be counted, and the sand of the sea cannot be measured. So too, I will make the descendants of my servant David and the Levites who minister me innumerable. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, have you not noticed what these people have said? They say, the Lord has rejected the two families he has chosen. My people are treated with contempt and no longer regarded as a nation among them. This is what the Lord says. If you do not keep my covenant with the day and with the night and fail to establish the fixed order of heaven and earth, then I might also reject the seed of Jacob and of my servant David, not taking from his descendants rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. That is just icing on the cake as far as what we've just talked about. And again, that is Jeremiah. Thanks for that. Jeremiah 33, verse 19, through to the end of the chapter, verse 26. Thank you, Jason's spiritual babies, for that. And I think we're done. And so once again, spiritualbabies.net is the website, Jason Spiritual Babies, and you'll also find Spiritual Babies the page on Facebook. Go there, like that, and I think we're done. So thank you, my friend.
No, thank you very much.
Excellent. So until next time, dear listeners, be blessed, be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.